Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. Now, later on in the programme, I will be talking to Ger Helbert, and she's going to tell me all about the village market in Holy Cross. I will also be talking to Michael Ryan from Whelehan Crop Protection on spraying grasslands, and my final guest this morning will be Pat McCormack, who is the president of the Irish Creamy Milk Suppliers Association. But we start off this morning with Niall Lynch from Chagas, and Niall is going to be talking about following your fertiliser plan. Good morning, Niall.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you back on, Niall, to tell you the truth. Now, Niall, and I know you're going to be talking about other things other than following the fertiliser plan. So, look, at farmers are struggling for grass at the moment.
Yeah, so farmers are struggling for grass at the moment, Jim. Grow conditions, they're not ideal at the minute. There's no secret out there. And there's a lot of silage ground closed up as well. We're starting to see slight grass shortages depending on farm stocking rates, etc. So it's starting to become an issue on farm, and it's important to stay ahead of this problem and to take action with it now. So with regards to fertiliser, first off, it's important to apply adequate fertiliser. So ensure the grass has the nutrients it needs to grow. So once the growth does kick in, and it is there, surprisingly it is there slow and steady all the time, but once it does kick in, it's important that we do have the nutrients out to take advantage of that. So if we are short on grass on farm now, look at spreading roughly 25 to 30 units of nitrogen per acre is what we'll be looking at. So look, we're looking at about a bag of can or a bag and a half of 18-6-12 there, or the equivalent in protected urea if you are using that. The big thing with this is it will help maintain sward quality there. So that's the big thing there. We need to maintain our sward quality, especially this time of year. Protein in the grass is high, energy is high there as well, so it's to take advantage of that.
Okay, and hope for a few warm days after it and a little bit of moisture. We have a moisture deficit as well, don't we?
Yeah, look, it's looking like a nice showery week ahead of us there, so there's lots of rain and showers promised. We haven't gone into a major moisture deficit yet, so that hasn't really affected grass growth. What it was killing us there on it was the ground frost during night, but that looks to be clearing up from now on as well, Jim. The big thing with it is if you do look like you are going to be short in the coming days and week or 10 days ahead on grass, look at reducing your demand. Okay, so what we'll be looking at there is possibly buffer feeding a bit of silage is one option, certainly. We can also put a bit of concentrate into the system if necessary, and it's to pick the right group of cattle on the farm to do that with. So, for example, if we had two-year-old bullocks or heifers that we were looking to finish in June, now might be the time to get a bit of meal into the system with them just to reduce our demand on grass and help try and build a bank of grass ahead of us. Final option and kind of our last resort on that, if grass is getting tight, would be to graze silage ground. You know, that'll be last resort at this stage, but if it does need to be done, what I'd be saying is give daily allocations with the use of strip wires, because it is the time of year where a shortage can turn into a surplus very quick. Temperatures could turn around very quickly now, and our growth rate could spike as well. So we don't want to let them into a full silage field and have that wasted either. So just give them exactly what they need now at the moment is what we're looking at, Jim.
Right. And then, you know, when the weather does take up and, you know, you have put out that amount of fertilisers that you're talking about onto what is at the moment by any standards bare pastures, there won't be much need to put out anything else for a while.
Yeah, so look, what you'll be looking at is higher stock farmers there who are on a 21-day rotation of that. You are looking at getting about 21 units of nitrogen out in them time frames. But the other big thing is that if you do have an allowance to spread phosphorus on the ground at the moment, now is the time to do so, because grass is in a vulnerable situation at the moment, where if you do get your phosphorus and potassiums out now, It does help massively with root development, so that will help us going into the drier period now of the year. So it's important to use your compound fertilisers now, such as your 18-6-12s and your pasture sward, etc.
Right, and I know we probably spoke about this with you or with somebody else last year, that, you know, there is a phosphorus deficiency in Tipperary.
Yeah, so look, if we look at everything across the board on farms, 90% of fields in the country full stop are either suboptimal in either pH, phosphorus or potassium. So it is important for farmers to soil sample and implement a fertilizer plan accordingly. So the big thing is, by improving your soil fertility to recommended levels, this will increase the nutrient use efficiency while increasing the overall productivity on the farm at the same time. So that's the big thing. With regards pH, when we're talking about pH, we're talking about spreading a bit of lime there then as well. So ideally, we want to get our pH up to 6.3 to 6.5 on grassland. And as I said, the way to maintain this is by soil sampling and liming accordingly. Now, look, it's not something that can be fixed overnight, so it's also important there that a correct liming program is put in place.
Right. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I caught across on you. Yeah.
You're fine, Jim. With increasing your pH alone to where we want to have it, that's going to have a massive effect on the efficiency of the chemical fertilizers that we are spreading throughout the year. So that's just important there as well. And it has become compulsory from 2020 for the farmers in the nitrates derogation there at the same time.
Right. Now, I know we're talking about chemical fertilizer, Niall, but is there a role for slurry at the moment if somebody has slurry left in their tanks?
Yeah, there's a massive role there for slurry and farmyard manure if it is available, Jim. It's every bit as good as our chemical fertilizer. So it is a big thing to target that accordingly. Now, if it wasn't spread in the spring, what you'd be doing is looking at targeting your fields that are low in your P's and K's with the slurry. It is a cheap way of increasing our indexes on that. So whether it be after first cut now when there's a lot of bare ground, might be an opportunity to get that out. Now, we've seen massive increases there the last couple of years with the amount of dribble bars and trailing shoes around the county, and that's having a major effect on the use of nitrogen from slurry. So it can nearly double the amount of nitrogen used for getting off that slurry then as well, because we're not losing it through emissions to the atmosphere there as well.
Of course, and slurry is a very valuable fertiliser. And as you're quite right, we have, I suppose, learned from the science over the past number of years of how valuable it is. Now, I know you have certain dates coming up, Niall, that you would like to remind farmers of.
Yeah, so the first one there, Jim, is the Department of Agriculture introduced this new agri-environmental scheme. So it's the results-based environmental agri-pilot project is what it's called, or it's called REAP for short. So we might have seen a good bit of it on the papers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So the closing deadline for the REAP scheme is the 10th of May. So that is Monday. So it's very important that if you are interested in getting involved in that scheme, and it does suit your farm, to contact your advisor as soon as possible, which will be on Monday, and that's the deadline day for that as well. So just to bear that in mind.
That's one.
The other one then is the basic payment scheme. We just need to keep an eye on that. Deadline for that is rapidly approaching as well. So it's the 17th of May for that, Jim. So what I'd be advising is, if you haven't already completed your basic payment scheme, contact your local Chagas office as soon as possible, and the admin staff there will arrange an appointment for you to complete that. Now, we are doing them over the phone at the moment, the same as last year, just in line with COVID restrictions at the moment. So it's important that you make contact then as soon as possible if you haven't already done so.
Right. Are they the only two we have to be worried about at the moment?
Yeah, they're the two big ones at the moment, Jim. Yeah.
Okay, there'll be others later on in the year, as always, just to make sure that the farmers are busy with the paperwork. Niall Lookit, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That listener was Niall Lynch from Chagas, giving us some very good advice on fertilisers and highlighting two very important dates that are coming up in the next 2 weeks, one of them as early as next Monday. Listeners, my next guest is Geraldine Herbert, but the thing about Geraldine is she's better known to me as Gerard the Farmer's Market. And Gerard is with me this morning to talk about a new venture in the village in Holy Cross. And the venture is the Village Market Holy Cross. And it's a new venture in Holy Cross, and Gerard is going to tell us all about it. Good morning, Gerard. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks for having us on.
No problem at all. Now, where did this idea come from, Gerard?
Well, we have the environmental group, Jim, we spoke to you about before, down Glass here, and we cover kind of Ballycahill, Littleton, Tumal Borris, Clonolty and Holy Cross. It's a cross parish group, really.
Yeah.
And the market really was on one of the to-do lists, I suppose, or to-review lists. So we had a look at it a couple of weeks ago, and we called a meeting, and there was a great appetite in the village with the community groups, with the tidy villages, with individuals and crafters and bakers and musicians in the area to get something moving and get something going. And we had a look as well at the history of the fairs. So traditionally, the fairs in Holy Cross took place on the 15th of May and the 28th of September and the 18th of October. So we thought, what better time than around the 15th of May to get going with the market? So that was kick-off for us, Jim.
Right.
Great excitement.
Yeah, great excitement. And a lovely idea, and a really lovely idea, you know, after the year and a bit that we've all had between lockdown and being very careful of ourselves, trying not to catch the virus. So, and you're coming to it at a very good time as well, when people are beginning to, I suppose, get a little bit of relief from COVID-19 and the lockdowns.
Absolutely. So really the vision for this market is that it would be really a vibrant hub in the village. You know, that we'd have local produce, fresh produce, that we'd have craft. I was just astonished myself, the number of producers and crafters in the area on the doorstep. And culture, I suppose, the music and the storytelling. And I mean, Ona Crow has a voice that would draw you into any history story or any piece of poetry in a couple of seconds. So that's kind of the spirit of it. You know, it's rooted in care and kindness for people, the community, the environment, and to have all of these produce and, I suppose, a social dimension to it as well, available on our doorstep.
Right. Now, the plan, I believe, then, is to run this every 2 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah, at the moment we're planning for bi-weekly. So at 1 o'clock on the May 15th and every second week then, Jim, after that, and assess how it's going. We have really an outpouring of interest and great excitement in the community. Lots of, I suppose, activity around it. The parish kindly gave us the grounds at the back of the parish house. So there's been stone being poured in there. The electricians were on site. We've been contacting the vendors. We have more than 20 vendors interested so far. We have the social media went live on Friday, and we've, I think, up to 8,500 people interacting on that in the space of 2 to 3 days. So Emily and Jackie Matthews did a massive job on that. And we just hope people now will click with their feet and come along to the market and, you know, buy with their heart locally.
Now, when you say the place where the venue is going to be, the back of the parochial house, is that where people go in and park during the novena?
Sometimes they would have. The whole area has been cleared out, stoned out. Yeah, so it's all been refurbished in preparation. So it's a safe area as well, off the main road, and people can park then in the normal parking spaces.
There are plenty of parking spaces, across the road from where you're talking. You know, the normal parking places for people visiting the Abbey or going to Mass is right opposite where you're talking. And, of course, then there is the side of the road. It's very wide there as well. So there's no problem. Okay, you mentioned that you're going to have music. You mentioned you're going to have arts and crafts. And you were amazed at the amount of art and crafts there is in the locality. Can you give me an idea what kind of arts and crafts are going to be there?
Well, beside me here in Holy Cross, we have Mary Scott and Dennis Johnson. And Mary does hand prints normally, but she also has a wealth of other crafts. And Dennis is a gifted artist. And on the right night of the weekend, if you're passing by in Holy Cross, you can hear a nice session of music going on there as well. So the other crafters then that are coming in, we have JM Designs, that's Jacinta Manning. She does personal gifts. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Ryan Kelly, she's a young lady from Thurles, and she does art and design. Maria Phelan, she does watercolours. We have Anthony Manton then doing woodcraft. And a number of others coming on board there. Elise, they're doing candles as well. But the quality of the crafts and the variety is incredible.
No mart is a mart without food. So can you give us an idea of the kind of food items that people are going to be able to go to and purchase?
So, Jim, on that, we have the Institution of Hammersley's and the Organic Meats. They're joining us. We have Michael Ryan and TJ, and they frequent the farmer's market in Thurles. So all the fresh fruit, all the fresh veg, the flowers, the plants, the boxes, and the garden furniture. We have, just going down through the list here then, we have cakes and buns and vintage items from Claire Ryan and her nieces.
Right.
Jackie Matthews, who has a Steiner-inspired preschool here locally. I would almost love to be a child myself to go to that.
Right.
And she's also going to do some crafts and products. Geraldine Burke is doing aloe vera products. She's a theatre nurse in Nina, so very good on the health side. Durin Freeland is doing brownies and cupcakes. And I see that Aoife Sutton there is there with baking and crepes. Sinead Kennedy, a lovely student, a transition year student from Rockwell, to do baking as well.
So
with art and craft as well from Yvonne Dwyer and Johnny Donoghue here locally doing jewellery.
So there's a lovely mix. What about the music?
The music now, basically, we have a number of musicians there and basically they're all tuning up. So that's part of that's now going to be a surprise. We can't share all the information with you.
Right.
You'll have to come along, Jim.
Okay, we have to come along. Well, I'm sure we'll all have to come along.
And we do want to invite musicians along as well, or people who just like to sit and sing a song or play something. So everybody's welcome. It's a real homely, welcoming environment. So stroll in, have a cup of tea, sing a song, read a book. You know, we have the bring and leave a book option.
So what you're telling me is if you have a musical instrument or if you can sing, just come along and we'll have a session.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Now we do have one unique inquiry for a stand. I think this could be perhaps unique for any market in Ireland, and there's no reason why Holy Cross couldn't be the county capital for markets, for village markets. But we do have the offering, and we think we're going to take them up on of a barber.
All right, okay. Well,
a dry cut barber. So he'd be, I believe, in great demand.
Well, he'd be definitely in demand at the moment, I can tell you that much.
Absolutely.
There's an awful lot of hair on heads at the moment.
Absolutely. And Jim, I should mention, you know, one of the key markets, or the key pieces in the market, is Park 63 have the food wagons or the food vans.
Yeah.
And they're actually coming on board. So we'll have tea, coffee, hot food, sandwiches, all of the wraps, proper lunches, chips, all of the hot food, all of the goodies that everybody loves from a healthy standpoint.
Okay. And, well, then there'll be a great buzz in the village.
Absolutely. And that's the idea.
And it's running then, you tell me, from 1 o'clock until...
Well, approximately three. So that's,
yeah, approximately,
I suppose,
one to
for
three.
The first day, that's reasonably loose-ish time. So we're saying 3:30, and we're just going to see how it goes. But we really see great excitement and great enthusiasm in the village. The Tidy Village Group are very, very eager beavers now. They're out again tonight working away, and the village looking fantastic. And really, it's a chance for everybody to get out and, you know, safely and enjoy a couple of hours on a Saturday afternoon when we've stopped rushing around after the week. And everybody's really, really welcome. Just a social hub. And we encourage people to, I suppose, shop local. And I know that phrase is maybe overused, but maybe buy with their hearts instead of racing off to... I suppose, to the chain stores and to the towns away from home.
Right, of course. And, you know, this has all been driven by an environmental group anyway. And I suppose it's very important to highlight the environmental side of it, and particularly, you know, with food only travelling from a couple of miles down the road. I think that's very important, given all we hear about climate change at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, to expand on that even just from a health standpoint, I mean, people are making these produce with great, great care. They're fresh produce. They haven't travelled miles. They haven't been processed. They haven't been preserved. So it's healthy for the environment, and it's healthy for the individual.
And
no comparison on the taste, obviously.
Yeah, and it's great to know that the vegetables are coming local. They're only coming there from Knockrow to Michael, just outside the town of Thurles. So, again, all these things are very important given the things that are happening on our planet. Ger, we're going to have to leave it there for this morning. Don't worry, I'll be dropping in with a microphone, and when it all starts off, and we'll have a chat with people that are there and see what they think of it. But look, thanks for sharing all that with us this morning, and we wish you the best of luck. And listeners, the Village Market in Holy Cross kicks off on this day week at 1 o'clock. So why not make that a date for your diary, and let's see what's happening and what's buzzing in the village of Holy Cross at the Village Market.
By the way, Jim, I forgot to mention that we have a Facebook page, the Village Market Holy Cross. So you can check in there and see all of the activities and see everything about the event. And obviously share the event and get involved with us on social media.
Listeners, my next guest this morning is Michael Ryan. And Michael is with Whelehan Crop Protection. And he was with me around this time last year as well. And he's with me to talk about the spraying of grass in particular. Good morning, Michael, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. How are you? Thanks very much for having me. I suppose just this time of year coming around again.
Yeah, I know. It comes around very quickly too, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Hopefully things start to heat up a bit now, and we might see a bit more movement.
Okay. Well, of course, we're now going to be talking about bringing out the sprayer, so, and particularly on grassland. So let's start off, so, Michael, with, you know, spraying of the grazing sward. What should farmers be, I suppose, thinking about at this stage?
Yeah, so, Jim, generally, there could have been, in normal years, there could have been a lot more spraying done to date, whereas there is some work done, but not a whole lot. We've had a fairly harsh spring. I know we've had some hot spells in between, but even when we had fine, warm days, we still had a bit of frost at night, so when you are spraying grazing ground or any ground, you want a good bit of heat there and a good bit of growth. You'll get a better kill at anything when something is actively grown and it's healthy. So now a lot of spread that was done, people have got on okay. But even now this week, I would say, has been a small bit cold. Hopefully we'll get a bit of heat next week and things will be good to go from there. So I suppose it's in the grazing ground, it's docks is generally the main issue, and it's the recurring problem, they're always there. So we're going to be looking out for getting docks at the right size and getting them, so when you have a good healthy leaf, all along with the frost, you might notice a bit of purple on some of the dock leaves. So when that purple is there, the dock is under pressure and it's not healthy, and I suppose it won't take in as much of the chemical as we'd like.
Right, okay. You mentioned heat, you know, that you need to have heat in the soil, and of course the plant needs to be hot as well, Michael. And I know we're after having a whole lot of cold nights, but hopefully, you know, looking at weather chart for the coming week, temperatures appear to be rising anyway, if we can trust what we are told.
Exactly, and as of now, and the most of ground, we have a bit of rain got in the last couple of weeks as well, so there's plenty of moisture there. So if we get that bit of heat, you'd imagine grass should take off, but I suppose the weeds will take off along with them then as well. Okay. So it'll be trying to get out, I suppose, before weeds get out of control. A lot of weeds might be at a decent size to do them now, and I suppose you want to have that bit of heat along with it and get in while that window is there.
What sprays then are you talking about putting out on this grazing ground?
For docks, we would have, the main ones would be Dockstar Pro and Forefront T.
Right.
Dockstar Pro is very good on docks, and it's a well-established brand at this stage, and it's very good on common chickweed as well. Forefront T then would be a bit more broad spectrum, so I would be getting docks, thistles, but it's also very good on buttercups, dandelions, and even ragwort is coming under the umbrella there as well.
It's interesting. Sorry for cutting across on you. It's interesting that you should mention dandelions, because I'm looking at some fields that are stopped at the moment when I was driving during the week, and there are a lot of lovely yellow fields at the moment.
Yes, and I've seen a lot of lovely yellow fields with dandelions, and even when you look in underneath them then as well, there's actually buttercups starting to come, but they only have the leaf is coming, whereas they haven't flowered yet, so you could even give it another week or two and there'd be even more yellow in the field.
So that's for the actual grazing platform. Then looking at the silage platform.
Yes, so I suppose this year has become a bit tricky now with silage, and I know a lot of ground is stopped for silage as it is. Ideally, you want to be leaving 3 weeks between spraying and cutting. So I would think maybe there mightn't be as much mid-May to end of May silage this year. Now, there will be a certain amount of it, but when growth has been slow, it could be pushed out into June. So even if you got out and sprayed next week, you still have loads of time then with your 3 weeks to come back in and cut. So generally for docks in silage ground, we will be looking at Dockstar. That Forefront T that we spoke about, it's very good on the grazing ground, but it's only supposed to be used in grazing ground. It's not for silage ground. So that's what we're looking at Dockstar and that. Then as well, we were talking about your buttercups and dandelions as well. Something like Pastor Trio is a very good broad spectrum as well, and it would get docks as well. So I suppose it's matching up what you have and the range of weeds you have in the field and picking a product that suits the best then.
Rightio. And of course, the other type of spraying that's going on, and I know I've seen my son spraying already this week, during the week, and that is spraying underneath the electric fence wires, particularly with regard to dairy farmers and their paddocks.
Yes, so I suppose when we're trying to keep a shock in the fences, a lot of it as well, and we don't want the weeds to take over. So even now, I see last week, the briars are starting to green up nicely.
Yeah.
And what are starting to pop up their heads now as well, now they mightn't be as strong as the briar, but it would be that the cow parsley, or it's a hogweed with a little white leaf in it, and they're really starting to take off. Even though the growth isn't there, they're starting to grow. So I suppose when you get that bit of heat, get out and get them. We'll be looking at Grazon Pro would be the one that fits all for under the fences. So it's getting that hogweed, it's getting briars, nettles, thistles, docks, even for spot spraying docks around the field as well, if you had the sprayer on the quad or the knapsack out with you. And I suppose it, we have to say as well that we want to, even though we're spraying under fences, we're not really spraying hedgerows, and we're keeping well back from all water courses, so there's no spraying along the side of the river either.
Right, now we kind of covered, well, we didn't cover that, but we covered the maintenance of the sprayer last week and the calibration thereof and how important that is. But, you know, and I kind of missed you there talking about keeping away from watercourses. So, you know, what's the recommended distance to keep out from a watercourse?
So for all, nearly all of the herbicides or pesticides, whatever you like to call them, that are there, a standard is a 5 metre buffer zone away from watercourses. So that's whether you're going with your knapsack or whether you're boom spraying. With the boom sprayer then, with certain, weed control products, and with different types of nozzles, you can reduce that buffer zone down to 3 meters to 2 meters to 1 meter, depending on the product and the nozzle. So these are air induction nozzles, so they reduce the drift of the spray, is really what they do. So I suppose that it depends on what nozzle you have now as well, but it's an option. And when you actually have those nozzles as well, you can use less water because there's less drift and you're being a bit more efficient, I suppose, of what you're using.
So there has been advances in sprayer technology. So, because, you know, if I go back to my time spraying, you know, basically we only had one or two types of nozzles. So that basically was the bore of the nozzle rather than anything else.
Yeah, and exactly. And as we move on from that then, even if you're buying a sprayer now, a basic sprayer for grassland, this generally would be the flat fan nozzle that is on it.
Yeah.
If you can get these air induction nozzles, so they would have been used in the cereal side of things, they would have been a bit ahead of the grassland. That's what they're at it a lot longer and more often, and they have it down to a fine art. So it's just depending on what one you can get and what way, how much you can reduce the rate of the spray. But it is an option, and you're being more efficient, you're using less water overall as well. Yes, it would be, I suppose, like that. Everything has been slow as well on that side of things, as well as the grassland. So there might be a bit of tidy up work done now as well at the moment, but it depends on what weed spectrum is there as well.
Michael, then, before I let you go, would you just sum up then what farmers should be doing at the moment?
I suppose at the moment it's keeping an eye on the weather and the size of your weeds. So if you can get out and get your docks when they're 8 to 10 inches across, a nice big leaf, and 8 to 10 inches across, but the size of a dinner plate, that's the size to get them.
Yeah.
Thistles may be a bit smaller, maybe 6 to 10 inches up. Mm-hmm. So it's either going, I was saying, forefront tee on your grazing ground, dock star on your silage ground, either pasture trio or envy on reseeded ground, which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Just that'll be coming in your post-emergent spray, maybe 4 to 6 weeks afterwards, depending on what's coming back, which are seedling docks, seedling thistles and chickweed. And if you can get out as well, before things get out of control, get your graze on out on your fence.
Okay, well, look, sure, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Oh, before I go, yeah, where can any of my listeners who want to use any of those sprays that you mentioned, I presume they can be got at any one of the co-ops or merchants?
Yeah, exactly. So any of the agri merchants would have those in stock, and we supply them all over the country and in Tipperary, of course.
Okay, well, we'd want to supply them in Tipperary. It's quite a bit of grass in Tipperary, Michael, I can
exactly
tell you that much.
Exactly.
Okay, well, look, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. That listener was Michael Ryan from Whelehan Crop Protection.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Listeners, as mentioned in the introduction to this morning's programme, I said my final guest this morning would be Pat McCormack, the president of the Irish Cream and Milk Suppliers Association. And I now have Pat on the line. Good morning, Pat, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. We haven't had a chat for a while. I presume you're very busy?
Yes, certainly. You know, obviously, from a farming perspective, we're heading into the AI season. You're just after a busy spring. Weather conditions, well, field conditions are pretty ideal. Grass growth, I suppose, is minimum. You ask me about busy then in my other life. ICMSA is certainly busy. A lot of Zoom meetings, a significant amount of time taken up with environmental issues, and obviously even the Bellevue plant and the whole hold-up that was there. Also, I suppose, the Kerry issue, you know, and Kerry Co-op and Kerry PLC and where they are now. But also, you know, animal medicines, and in particular, I suppose, the use of antibiotics, and, you know, for a dairy farmer in particular, the availability of penicillin mid-lactation tubes to treat cows that would have mastitis mid-lactation. That's definitely up in the air at this point in time, and something that we feel quite strongly about. And, you know, I've contacted McConnell Logue, the minister, directly to say that it's imperative that those facilities or existing facilities remain at status quo for farmers to be able to combat the occasional outbreak of mastitis within a herd.
But, Pat, won't you agree with me that farmers nowadays, they really use antibiotics very, very sparingly, and they are very, very careful about the usage and about withdrawal periods, etc.?
Hugely careful about the usage. A, there are significant costs, and B, you know, there is the issue of the withdrawal period and the obligation to honour that withdrawal period, because I don't know about you, Jim, but I'm the less selected on my milk run, and you know, the bull tank driver will know whether there's antibiotics in the lorry from the time he leaves the back of the lorry till he gets to the front, to the cab of the lorry. The test they have available to him is that fast. So, you know, we're not going to get away with it. And the reality of it is that every farmer is extremely responsible in that regard, with honouring the withdrawal period out of necessity as well as everything else.
Right. Now, these new regulations, if they do come in, if they are going to come in, they're going to come in next January. Is that correct?
That's the proposal at this point in time. And we would have had, it's fair to say, a robust meeting with the Department of Agriculture last week on the issue. You know, the notion that on a Friday evening or a Sunday evening that you ring your vet and he'd email a prescription somewhere, and that you'd be able to follow that prescription and source tubes. You know, it's hugely frustrating for farmers, given that down through the years they have had them readily available in the dairies and never taken them for granted, it's fair to say. So, you know, the knock-on effect of these proposals would be a significant rise in cell count in national herd, a significant increase in the cull. It would be all negative from a dairy farmer perspective.
Okay, now, there, when you spoke first, you mentioned, you know, some of the issues that are out there for you at the moment. And one of those issues was the Bellevue situation. I presume that is having probably not a major concern to you as far as your milk supply is concerned in Tipperary Co-op, but for your members who are members of our suppliers to Glanbia, they must be very concerned.
Without a doubt, Jim, it has been a it has actually been a significant concern. While it may not be a concern to my milk supply directly, it certainly has been a huge issue for my mobile phone over the last number of weeks, with farmers ringing infuriated. And, you know, it had a knock-on effect for Centenary and Mullinahone within the county and the listenership as well. Obviously, the niche that we have out there is the Kerrygold brand, and that's all built around producing milk off grass. And, you know, any curtailment of supply at peak has frustrated farmers and infuriated them. Now, hopefully, you know, that this plant will be in a position to go ahead, and that come 2023 peak, that it may be available for commissioning. And that would take a lot of the pressure off. But that critical thing is that all things are going to go well between here and 2023 in order for that building to be in place.
Right. Wouldn't we be a little bit naive now, Pat, given your experience and my experience, if, you know, all the objections to this were over by now?
Without a doubt, Jim, very naive. And, you know, we did meet on Tashka as well prior to the court ruling, because we had a number of farmers that have forwarded their various issues to me, whether it's in a milking parlour or slurry storage or whatever the case may be, farm development, that have been frustrated by various NGOs. You know, that's a huge concern. And, you know, it's ironic that environmentalists would object to farmers putting in additional slurry storage, because that's critical, the utilisation of that organic nitrogen in the years ahead is seen as a critical component in improving water quality. So that is ironic. But look, we had a cordial meeting with them, trying to find common ground and trying to move things forward, and allow, obviously, environmental sustainability, but also to allow the commercial farmer to be economically sustainable in the years ahead.
Right. You also mentioned that you're very busy on environmental issues, and we know that coming into the next CAP, when that eventually kicks in 2023, the environment will feature heavily in it, and the protection of the environment. So, and I presume, Pat, that, you know, some of the environmental measures that are being spoken about, they really are welcome as well, aren't they?
Well, look, I think they can have a positive impact on the environment and on the wildlife habitat without having a negative impact on the commercial farm. And that's the critical thing as we move forward. Obviously, you know, there's anywhere between 20 and 30% of a cut to the direct payment to go to the eco scheme. And, you know, I suppose what's critical there in Pillar 1 is that eco scheme is available to all farmers. And, you know, we would have lobbied the department even as late as this week on the necessity to have that eco scheme hover around hedgerow management, because every farm has hedgerows, and the management of those hedgerows can be critical to the wildlife habitats and the whole ecosystem within rural Ireland. And, you know, hopefully that will be taken on board, because in the present round of CAP that we are coming to an end of, greening was a significant element. But, you know, that looked to be hugely challenging at one point in time. But I know for the tillage farmer, they were a bit frustrated with crop rotation. But for the grassland farmer to grow grass, made them eligible. And in the same way, we believe that for the eco scheme going forward, eligibility should hover around a reasonable level of maintenance on hedgerows.
And do you feel then, looking at the other side of all this, environmental issues, and that's the issue of climate change and emissions, you know, where do you stand on that at the moment?
Well, look, you know, we're unique as an industry, obviously, with the Tagus Neck Curve, and, you know, we need to give that the opportunity to deliver. You know, for example, low emission storage threading, lower protein content in the ration, and protected urea can all have a significant impact. Equally, I suppose, from a national perspective, you know, if we were to call, or if we were to slaughter every steer and heifer a month younger, it would be the equivalent to reducing the herd by 100,000 cows. So, you know, we've met with ICBF as well, and, you know, breed and breed index and breed strategy for the years ahead needs to utilise those figures and that background science as well, because, you know, the last thing we want to be doing as a nation is reducing the national herd.
Right, and of course you mentioned science there, and it was one of the buzzwords for the last 15 months has been follow the science. And if we were to follow the science and some of the science that's out there, in particular now with regard to how good our grassland is for as a sequencer of carbon, you know, one would feel that we should be given the opportunity, and that should be seen as part of the science that will feed into whatever climate change methods that we are going to have to adopt on our Irish farms.
Certainly, and, you know, when they talk about that as well, not only the grassland management, but the hedgerows, and it's critical that all those figures are put into the pot and attributed to the various different farmers that are out there individually. And obviously, you know, if you have a lot of hedgerows missing, they're missing, but if you have a lot of hedgerows in place, you need to get credit for them in the months and years ahead. In the same way, I suppose, you know, there'll be proposals on the table for various wildlife strips, whether that's along the bank of a river or indeed around the perimeter of a field. And, you know, hopefully we'll see farmers get with the opportunity to get significant compensation for the loss of that area to be found.
Okay, well now, Pat, we're out of time, and you won't believe it, but we never even got around to talking about milk production and the price of milk. We leave that for some other time, and we never got around to the big news of this week and the Farmers Journal, which will have frightened many a farmer when they see the cuts that they're likely to face under the new CAP. But look, it was a pleasure talking to you as always, and I want to thank you ever so much for taking my call this morning.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning to your listeners.
Listeners, before I sign off this morning, just two announcements of interest to some people anyway. The open days at Myallef House this month have been postponed for the moment due to COVID-19. It is hoped that they will be held later in the year. And for IFA members in North Tipperary, just to say that the monthly executive meeting is going to be held on Tuesday by MS Teams, and the guest speaker is the IFA president, Tim Cullinan. That, listeners, is Agriport for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you will join me, Jim Finn, at the same time next week for another Agriport on Tip FM. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Eamon de Wire presents Down Your Way.